Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, and mostly the ugly.
Mostly. Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Oh, here it is. Yes,
yeah,
we are.
Oh, there we are. So, we're excited to read the novel that we got from
a UK
across
listener.
The pond.
That's right.
Right?
Are you going to the coronation? Sorry.
Yeah. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Are you Sussex Squad? Or,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I'm just going to put this out there. Camilla, mother of the nation.
Yeah.
Do we think that?
It's tough.
We're Americans.
Yes. It's tough.
Go ahead. Read us this letter, Joss.
Okay. Dear Kristen and Joss, I hope you are both well. I recently discovered your podcast and also bought your book. Well, thank you.
Hey.
I love listening to your advice, and I found it really helpful, particularly in recent months. This letter is about one particular friendship I've recently had to end. Shell, not her real name, and I have been friends for 17 years. We met in college, the UK version of high school, when we were 16. I love that Shell was a free spirit. She never conformed to fashion trends. She would turn up to class head to toe in pink and glitter. I love that. And she didn't care about what others thought of her.
Jess, could you read this in a British accent?
I can't. I wish I could. My God. I wish I could. I'm not one of those people who, you know, those people who like have an accent when you listen to someone who has an accent?
Yeah, that's me. Accent whore.
Yeah. That's also Madonna. During this time, Shell's dad, Shell's dad committed suicide.
Oh, gosh.
I remember thinking at the time how strong she was and how much I admired her for it. During our late teens, early 20s, we were very close and spoke daily. I became close to the friends she introduced me to, and we would regularly arrange group social events. I'm still friends with a lot of them now. Shell was always a whirlwind. She had lots of boyfriends who she would be off and on again with. She liked to be the center of attention, but that never bothered us, as we loved that she brought so many like-minded people together, and she was always very kind and fun to be around. When we left university in our early 20s, our lives took separate paths. She chose not to pursue a career. Instead, she moved back home. I moved closer to the city of London and started my career. I still stayed in touch with Shell, and we would meet up occasionally. As the years went by and we continued to live different lives, we would always stay in touch, and when we did see each other, it was like no time had passed. Fast forward 9 years to our early 30s. I had moved back to my home area and bought my first flat. I was single after recently coming out of a long-term relationship. I was doing well in my career and hobbies and had great friends. I hadn't spoken to Shell for a few years at that point, although we were still friends on Facebook and would wish each other happy birthday. I soon discovered that she was living just around the corner from me. She was not working due to suffering from depression. However, she seemed happy living with her fiancé of 3 years. We quickly arranged a date to meet up and became closer friends again over the coming months. During this time, I was promoted and decided to sell my flat and buy a small house, which ended up being on the same estate as Shell's. I was aware...
What is an estate?
I don't know. I know what it is here.
Right. I'm thinking, you know, like Pemberley, but...
Yes, right. Exactly.
I don't think it's Pemberley. I think it's like maybe a suburb or a neighborhood.
Or maybe a housing...
The same estate.
Yes.
Like, she bought a house in the same estate. I'm going to say suburb.
Okay.
Let's go with that.
I was aware that she wasn't doing as well as me financially, so I would always make sure we organized affordable activities to do when we met, and I let her have any of my old clothes she liked before they went to charity. Shortly after I moved, it was Shell's birthday, and she decided to organize a party at one of my favorite local bars. On the night, Shell turned up half intoxicated and got into an argument with the owners because they didn't have the drink she wanted.
Wait, I'm sorry, is this letter writer's birthday or Shell's birthday?
Sure. This is Shell's birthday.
Okay.
And she decided to organize her own party.
All right.
But then got into a fight with the owners because they didn't have the drink she wanted. So she decided to storm out and go to another bar, leaving us with our freshly bought drinks. It was very embarrassing, as we had to quickly finish our drinks and head to the other bar to join her. When I arrived, all right, it's her birthday. What are you going to do, stay there? And right? Okay. When I arrived at the other bar, she said loudly in front of everyone, "Cheers for the crap bar recommendation."
Oh.
I was taken back and wound up by it. It was her choice to go there. The next day, she published a bad review on Google about the bar, and the owners got in contact with me and were very upset by it. She then sent a complaint email to the owners of the complex that rented the bar space out. Jesus.
Wow.
And it was a very long email with no paragraph spaces. I know this because she copied me in and signed my name alongside hers at the bottom. I was really upset with her and told her. After this, I decided to try and distance myself from her and told her I was very busy at work. This was difficult because her fiancé would regularly call me in a panic while he was working to say that Shell had threatened to kill herself and could I go over and check on her as I worked from home. Of course I did. Another day he called me to say that their cat had been run over on the estate and Shell was too upset to collect the body, so could I go do it? I agreed and took time off of work to help. Shell messaged me one day and said that they were moving to another area. I must have mentioned this to someone else in our friendship group, not knowing it was a secret, and I soon received a message from her expressing how upset she was with me for spreading news that was confidential, that she didn't feel like I had been a very good friend to her lately and thought we should take a break from our friendship. Shell then proceeded to block me on everything. I found out through my close friend that I introduced her to that she had posted on Facebook that she was moving, saying how awful the area was and how she would never buy there. I felt this was an obvious dig against me. Fast forward 4 months. I started dating someone in our mutual friend group. Shell broke up with her fiancé and reached out to me to apologize for her behavior. I decided to forgive her and put it down to her having bad mental health during those months. She said she was moving back to her old flat on my estate. Maybe like a housing, you know, you have the McMansions and you like drive through and it's the house like that.
Okay. Yeah. Developments.
That's it.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah. Sorry. We just, you know, and she went back to, we met up a few times and things were good. She started dating someone new. So she invited my boyfriend and I over to hers one night to meet him. And we offered to pay for a takeaway. This is when it started to go downhill again.
Ugh.
She was drinking heavily, and by the time the takeaway arrived, she didn't have an appetite to eat it. My boyfriend offered to go to the shop to get some more alcohol, and while he was gone, she kept claiming to hear him knock on the door, so I would go down to answer it, and he wasn't there. This happened a few times. When I clearly heard him knocking on the door, I got up to go down, and she shot up out of her seat as quickly as possible to answer it before me. I was quite wound up at that point after being up and down the stairs several times for bogus knocks. After that, she claimed she was tired and needed to go to bed. The night was still early and we had just got more alcohol in, but we didn't want to overstay our welcome, so we headed home. The following weekend, I told Shell that my boyfriend and I were going on a date night. The morning after our date night, I woke up to several messages and missed phone calls from Shell to say that she and her boyfriend had locked themselves out of her flat by accident, and could my boyfriend bring his ladder over to them, over and let them back in, as she had left her first floor window open. Of course, we headed straight over to help. Before going up the ladder, my boyfriend took off his coat and handed it to me, or so he thought he had. When we left, he asked me for it back, and I said I didn't have it. He quickly realized that he had handed it to me, but Shell had whipped it out of his hands before he could pass it to me. What's going on with Shell? I thought it was odd that once the door had been opened, Shell completely vanished without a thank you or goodbye, so we ended up taking the ladder back to home. I called her to ask her about the coat, and she denied knowing anything about it. I said we were going out for a walk, and it was the only one he had on him, so could she look for it? After an hour, she called back and said, oh, I think I might have it. Come over and collect it. We knocked and called, but no answer. By then, my boyfriend and I were in a bad mood and had our first argument over it. We eventually got the coat back, but it was too late to go on our walk. The weekend after, my boyfriend and I were invited to a Halloween party by our mutual friends. My boyfriend's best friend was hosting the party, and Shell's ex was living in the same house share. She asked whether we were going, and I said yes. My boyfriend wanted to see his best friend. She didn't seem bothered by it. On the night of the party, she put a status up on Facebook which said, I'm curious to see which of my female friends betray me tonight and go to my ex's party. Wow. I saw it en route, and it really upset me and put me in a bad mood for the party. Well, at the party, her ex approached me and told me how difficult Shell was being, as she was refusing to collect her belongings from him. She had told me the opposite, that he was making himself unavailable every time she wanted to collect her things. So I asked him whether he was making it difficult for her, as it seems they were both saying the same thing. I even offered to collect her things on her behalf, if that made it easier. After that, I had a very busy few weeks at work, which required me traveling into the office most days. I also had a couple weekends away planned. Shell messaged me almost daily asking for favors. Could she borrow a saucepan? Could she borrow a pen? A pen?
A pen.
I was clear with her that I was busy and not working from home often, and said I would arrange something as soon as I was more available. One week, she asked for some clothes she had given me back as she lost weight and urgently needed them for an event that weekend. I tried arranging a time to drop them off, but she wouldn't reply to my messages. The weekend came around, and she asked me for them, and I told her I was away for the weekend. She became very angry and asked why I was away again when I knew she needed the clothes. I ended up leaving them hidden on her porch when I got back, as I was fed up with her for causing drama over it. I then received a text from her saying, I know you're really busy at work, but since you've been with your boyfriend, you've been off the radar, and I've needed my friend. More importantly, my ex knows things that only I told you, and if you cared, you wouldn't discuss them with him. I don't think we should talk anymore. She blocked me on everything again. I was so fed up at this point with her weekly dramas, I decided to block her back on everything and end the friendship for good.
Finally!
Since then, I have discovered that a lot of our mutual friends have also had similar experiences to me, and a few of them have ended their friendships with Shell, too. Not long after I blocked her, my close friend, who is still on Shell's Facebook, let me know that Shell put up a status to say that she was planning to commit suicide, and then listed the people to blame it on. And my name was on that list.
Oh my gosh.
What the fuck? I recently found out through mutual friends that Shell is pregnant.
Oh, great.
She must have gotten pregnant around the time she ended our friendship. Shortly after finding out this news, I received a message from a random number, and the profile picture was Shell holding her baby bump. It read, is this our letter writer's name? I didn't reply and blocked the number. Oh, I see. Since cutting her out, I feel like the weight has been lifted, and I know it was the right thing to do, but I can't help but feel confused about how things ended, and it keeps playing on my mind. I've always considered her a really good friend, and I'm struggling to get over her behavior. I feel sad that I won't be in her baby's life, however. I'm exhausted from the drama. Apologies for this very long email. I would love to hear from you. Best wishes,
London.
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 My gosh.
London. You knew for a very long time that Shell has profound mental health problems.
Yes.
So any expectations of normalcy from her were misplaced.
Yes. Agree.
And all of this drama and back and forth and needing you and stuff, it's manic.
It's chaotic.
It's chaotic,
manic, really is.
Depressive, yes. Bipolar, yes. Etc.
Yes.
And I'm struggling to see where Shell was a good friend,
yeah.
Except she was the life of the party.
Which makes sense
high school
for
stuff,
someone who's
you know,
bipolar.
And, you know, I'm very sorry that she's gone through so much trouble. Her father committed suicide. Her odds of suicide, death by suicide, skyrocketed
at that
point.
They did. That's a statistic, yeah.
And if she's not taking good care of her mental health, not seeing a psychiatrist and...
Which it doesn't sound like she is.
She's self-medicating with the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And
pregnant.
And now she's pregnant, and that's a whole... other thing that you're never going to know about and you should never know about.
Mm-hmm.
You're right to block her.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from her.
Mm-hmm.
She's too troubled for you to be able to fix.
That's the truth. And try to be able to understand. Like, I see you and your boyfriend struggling to understand her behavior without immediately identifying it as mental health issues.
Yeah. Can I borrow a pen? Why did you leave? I need you. Then she doesn't respond to you. I mean, she's just really troubled.
Yeah.
Really sick.
Yeah.
And I wish that you had been able to identify that earlier and saved yourself a lot of that chaos. But you have to realize you are not dealing with a quirky person here.
No, she's not healthy.
I hope that her pregnancy will force her to get some medical attention and address those mental health issues and get them under control. But that's not your problem.
No.
And to say, like, I'm sorry I won't be part of her son's life. No.
Mm-mm.
You should be grateful you're not going to be part of her son's life,
pure
or child's
chaos.
Life. Because that's just a whole other person she will take down with her.
Yes.
And
that's chaos right there.
Unless she places the child for adoption.
Yeah.
Or her mom steps in to raise the baby. Whatever. It's not your problem.
No.
And you did the right thing. You should have probably maybe had a little more compassion for her.
Yeah.
And recognized these signs.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, she does this is just further evidence of her mental health issues.
I think you were too in it to notice. Like, you were, like, too in the midst of the drama. And you're like, what is going on with this woman? If you reread your letter now.
Yeah.
With, you know, some distance between all those events. The letter is point by point. Oh, this poor woman has mental health issues.
Yeah. I think you're right, Joss. I think because you knew her young.
Yeah.
And you had this idealized version of her in your head.
Yeah.
And that hope springs eternal, you know, that she'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Joss and I have had that friend.
Right.
Where we think, you know, when we met, she was so great. And just hopefully, like, you know, that version of her will cycle back. And it doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't.
So I hope that you can look at her with a whole lot of compassion and empathy and hope for the best, but do not get involved.
Do not. I mean, stay away from her Facebook. I mean, people don't need to tell you what's going on her Facebook either.
Yeah. Right.
You just can't. I mean, you're not equipped to do anything for this woman. You really aren't.
And she would love to suck you back in.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because people with that kind of modus operandi, that's how they feed off that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just so sad.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tragedy because she sounds like she had so many great qualities.
Yeah.
But the shell that you used to be friends with is no more.
No. No.
If you keep giving her chances to hope that she's not, you're just going to set yourself up for disappointment.
Right. And she'll suck you and your boyfriend and anyone else in your household in. You have to...
I've never known of someone who was a hot mess and really, like, burned all these bridges and you know, was just, like, this chaotic force of destruction who got their shit together and was able to acknowledge and take responsibility for and make amends and, like, come back into the fold, whether it was my own brother or, you know, friends of friends. I hope that people can do that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that there is that window of possibility that people could say, back then, I didn't realize that I was bipolar, for example.
Yeah.
I've been working with a therapist for 10 years.
Yeah.
I've been really stable for 7. And I want to apologize for all the chaos that my illness must have brought into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wanted to say, I appreciate all the good times that we had, and I hope you're doing well. That would be the window that would be cracked for.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear from you, Shell.
Yeah.
It's great to know you're on the right track.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
And if something built from there. Okay, but that...
She's not there. She's...
That doesn't happen very often.
It's tough. It's a tough road to get... She's self-medicating a lot.
Yeah. I really hope that the pregnancy and the medical care that she's hopefully getting...
Yeah.
...is going to be the conduit. But again, like, how often...
Yeah.
...does a baby cure mental illness?
I know.
You know?
I know. Oh, my goodness.
So, I think, too, like, hearing Joss read this, I'm sure that you're thinking, oh, my God, I was so blind.
You were in the middle of, like, a mental health crisis.
I thought she was just, you know, it would just be a few more weeks and she'd get her act together.
No.
And I get it. Yeah. You know, when you're in it, when you're out of it, you think, oh, my God, why did I go through all that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But for now, you can just live your life. And if somebody brings up Shelley, you can say, you know, I really wish her the best.
Yeah. I agree.
No further comment.
Yeah. No more. Boy, that's sad.
Gosh. Yeah.
That's really sad.
That's a devastating letter. Mm-hmm. So I hope that, you know, things have gone on well for you and your partner and your career and everything. But I also hope that you have learned to identify some of these red flags that make friendship impossible.
Yes.
As much as you wanted to be Shell's friend, you can't be.
She needs more help than you can give her.
Yeah. This is not... A person in Shell's state of mind can't have friends. Yeah. She doesn't know what a friend is.
No.
And,
Wow.
Yeah. That is a rough one.
It's tough. That's tough.
I don't know. Do we have anything, like, a little fluffier?
We have no fluff.
I think we might be caught up.
We're completely caught up.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. We had like 1,000 letters.
Right. You guys. Because of our extensive organizational complex, we somehow missed like 18 letters.
Yeah, we had 1,000 letters.
I was thinking, like, you know, gosh, you know, the emails have really
slowed down.
Uh-huh. And then I find that Joss has been filing them.
I've been filing them.
He's like a to-be-read folder that I did not know.
But I have pledged to, like, keep track of everything on. Now we're all cut up.
Extremely impressive now.
We're all cut up.
Here it is. Letters, advice. Yeah. I'm just looking in our old inbox.
Yeah.
And,
I've pledged to stay on top of it so we don't get this out of control again.
Really, really well done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep writing to us. We love doing this. It's our labor of love.
Yes.
It's a nice chance for us to get together and have dinner and a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And pet dogs.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day. And
we're best friends.
Forever. Yes.